You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This week is the Major League Baseball draft, and we are going to get a little scoop on what teams might be thinking as they enter that very important first day and first round. I'm Allison Footer, and I'm here with Brian McTaggart, who covers the Astros. And Brian, kind of a strange year for the Astros in that they have the 17th pick instead of one of the very top picks, which means they had a very good year last year, but are don't have the luxury of picking, you know, so high to get all those premium players. So I guess at this point they need to maybe look at restocking some of the depth that they lost. Right? They've made a lot of trades recently.
Yeah. The last couple of years they've made a lot of trades. Of course, in the Giles trade with the Phillies, they give up guys like Velasquez and a couple other the younger players, Mark Appel. The trade with the Brewers last year, they give up Hader and Phillips, their minor league pitcher and player of the year from the year before, and some other deals along the way. So, you know, they put themselves in this position where they could make these kind of deals, and their farm system was deep enough to where they could trade some of their prospects. But I think to the point now where they can't take too many more hits like that, and they have to replenish some of these areas that they lost, and things like catching and left-handed pitching right now, not a lot of those in the system, and I think we'll see them target those as the draft gets a couple of rounds in and they start drafting more to needs.
Yeah, I mean, when you say catchers and left-handed pitchers, I mean, those are two premium commodities that are extremely hard to find. Catching is very hard to it's not so hard to draft guys that are catchers. It's really hard to develop them and make them into major leaguers. And left-handed pitching just seems like so would be so valuable. It is, I guess, a little bit alarming that they're thin in those two areas.
Yeah, it is. Like you said, very important positions. They haven't drafted a catcher really high since Castro. He's worked out pretty well, I guess. You know, he's been in the major leagues a long time now, been a starter for a long time. But he's a free agent at the end of the year. And not that whoever they draft this year is going to be able to replace him, but, they have to wonder how long they'll sign him or what the future is with him. But I think they're going to have to draft a catcher high and college catcher and hope he can work his way through the system. You know, Ken Emanuels was drafted high, left-handed pitcher in North Carolina. He's a Double-A. He missed a year with Tommy John, so that kind of hurt as well. Hader was a left-handed pitcher, and they traded him away. So, two very important positions to have, and they're going to be aggressive in both those areas. Like I said, in the offseason, you can't go out and get a catcher, really. You know, teams aren't going to give up their premium catchers. That's why the Astros, probably won't let Jason Castro walk, because a catcher of his caliber, good or bad, is hard to find, and they're going to have to overpay to keep him. But they need somebody behind him or another option at least coming soon.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they have enough problems just trying to figure out who's going to back them up. They probably don't need to create a situation where they're trying to figure out who's going to catch 145 games a year. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on now, which is once you get to a losing streak that enters the high numbers that the Astros have in games in Arlington, it's hard not to talk about it. So they're 0-8 against them overall this year. They're 0-10 dating back to, I've lost count, in Arlington. What's the losing streak in Arlington?
12.
Okay, so really frustrating. These last two games that they played, those are kind of just crushing losses to sort of be within reach and really be able, winnable games, I guess you call it. So how frustrating is that for the Astros who, came into Arlington having won 11 of 13?
Yeah, and the thing that makes it really frustrating is I think they believe they should have won these games. You look at Monday's game and they commit a couple of miscues of not covering the base or not getting to the base in another situation in that three-run first inning. And then, late in the game, they have a double play ball that could have gotten them out of the inning and sent it to extra innings. And Correa, the ball, he has a little bit of a problem getting the ball out of the glove. And Odor comes up next batter and wins the game. So just little things like that. And then last night, they have runners at first and third with one out in the seventh. And Marisnik tries to put down a squeeze bunt, fouls it. They call a squeeze bunt again, and he swings away and hits into an inning-ending double play. And that's just the kind of stuff that will drive A.J. Hinch crazy because person that gets that bunt down and the ball's on the ground, and AJ said you can't defend it. I mean, the runner is going to score. I mean, unless just something catastrophic happens. They didn't even get a chance to do it. They hit into a double play. So things like that, and not covering the base, or I mean, that's stuff you go over in spring training. And to have that pop up and cost you a couple of games against the team you really need to beat, the frustration is really boiling over in the clubhouse.
Yeah, it's a good point, because defensively, if you look at them just as a defensive ball club, one of the better ones. I mean, if you go position to position, it's pretty good, solid, especially the outfield. But the mental mistakes are just as much part of the defense. So I guess that would make them slip more down to the middle of the road.
Yeah, and those are things that aren't measured. I mean, going back to that first inning Monday, I don't think there was an error on either one of those plays, but it was just Marwin went to his right to get a ball, and Fires didn't cover first, and then later Marwin was kind of late getting to the bag, couldn't find the bag with his foot. And even then, compounding it, the Astros challenged the call, and AJ says, we shouldn't have challenged it. I mean, he was out. I mean, the runner was safe. So just one thing after the other. You almost just wonder if they're snake bit against the Rangers. I mean, I think Rangers are obviously in their head a little bit, and it's almost like they go out there and expect something to happen or go wrong. And, I really thought on Monday night when Altuve hit that 3-run homer after they fell behind 3-0, I thought, okay, they've struck back. But usually they fall behind 3-0, they lose 11-2, and here Altuve hits the home run and they're back in the game. And I'm like, okay, they came to play, and then they end up, kind of fumbling the game away. So good news is they can still split here. So with the last two games, so we'll see. But I tweeted out a stat today. The Astros are 28-24. Against everyone other than the Rangers, 0-8 against the Rangers. So the Rangers have really sort of wrecked their season so far.
Well, yeah, there's a difference between trying to win a game and trying not to lose a game. It sounds silly, but it's pretty, the differences are pretty obvious. Okay, so let's end this on just talking about, of course, the closing situation, because that topic will never go away until the Astros figure out who their full-time closer is. So Luke Gregerson, they said they're going to scale back on him a little bit, just maybe have a bullpen by committee. What are you hearing about that? I mean, you got a little bit more to Gregerson once you all got to Arlington. So what's the feeling there?
Yeah, Gregerson wasn't happy being taken out of the closer's role. It really frustrates him. He feels he's making good pitches. The pitch to Larry was a good pitch. He hit the home run to win the game, or at least put the game in extra innings on Sunday. I mean, that was a pitch down and in, and, he got out his 2-iron and knocked it out. So you just kind of feel for the guy in that regard, but you can understand why AJ's making this change. And I think right now we're going to see a couple of guys get the lion's share of the closer role. Will Harris is going to get in there quite a bit, and then I think we're going to see Ken Giles as well. I mean, Harris hasn't allowed a run in, 25 consecutive outings now, and Giles has righted the ship a little bit, even though he gave up a run Monday night. And I think at the end of the day, one of those two guys will take over the closer role, but for now it's going to be between them. I really don't see Feliz getting a shot to close a lot, because he's so valuable in what he does, just going those multiple innings and getting the ball maybe with one out in the seventh and getting you to the ninth inning. Very valuable in that role. It's not to say you won't close games here and there, but I think it's going to be Harris and Giles. And I think if Giles gets 3 or 4 solid saves under his belt, that at some point AJ is going to anoint him as the closer. But right now it's closer by committee, and that committee is really two guys, Harris and Giles, for the most part.
Yeah, I feel like by the time the season's over, Giles is going to be closing. But
but
we shall see. Okay, awesome. Thanks so much, Tags. Enjoy the rest of the trip. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.